on the lesson that we started last week. We had gone, the point is, those who might have been absent, we are looking on the fact that in baptism, there are some, of course, five activities of worship. Not of worship, five activities that can be considered condition to salvation. These five activities include hearing God's word, believing God's word, repenting of your sin, confessing Christ's name, and getting baptized. Look here, to our visiting friends. Every man, every woman must become a Christian this way. Let me just drop a passage by. I mean, just come to me that it might help to someone. Turn to the passage of St. John chapter 6. I want somewhere about verse 34, 35, and they shall all be taught of me. Let us hear it.
Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me, and believe not, and that the Father giveth me, and that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out.
This chapter 6 45. Just pick up at that verse, and they shall all be taught of me, somewhere about there, but get that in context.
Could start from 44. No man can come to me.
That's the passage, yes.
No man can come to me except the Father.
Mark you, you know, this is not a passage that was, but as I pointed out, the condition to salvation. I want those in the midst who might not understand, and those who might have become Christian and not be fully mindful, that when I stated just now that without exception, any man or woman becoming a Christian, the only way you can become a Christian, God's way, you must go through these steps. These conditions are not man-made. They are outlined in the gospel, various places and in various ways. And that is every man, woman, coming to Christ to be forgiven, to get salvation. You must hear, that means you must be taught. You must believe. You must make a decision to turn from your sin and ungodly ways. You must so own Christ that you are not ashamed to own him or to confess him. And you must be baptized. Wait. There is but one baptism, and it is not sprinkling. Listen to the passage.
No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him.
You see, in becoming a child of God, The sinner, the prospective convert, is aided by God. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? When the Almighty God sees in you or in me a desire to serve him, God will assist you. No man cometh unto me except the Father,
which has sent me,
draw him.
And I will raise him up at the last day.
Now Christ now is about to tell us how we are drawn by God. Let us hear it.
It is written in the prophets.
It is written in the prophet.
And they shall be all taught of God.
He's telling us how we are drawn. You know, you shall be taught. It's the same as hearing. When he said they shall all be taught of God, that means you must hear God's truth. Read on.
Every man, therefore, that hath heard.
You see? Taught and heard is used interchangeably, referring to the same action or the same receptiveness on your part to listen to what God has to say to you. You are taught or you must hear. Every man, therefore, that has.
Therefore, that hath heard.
Heard, that means you have been taught.
And hath learned.
Wait, and every time, you know, I said how Christianity is educationally or psychologically sound.
Amen, amen.
You are taught.
Yes.
But you must make sure you grasp.
Amen, amen.
So every man, therefore, who have been taught or heard,
and learn Father,
what happened?
Commit unto me.
Then you make a decision to come to Christ.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying. That you cannot escape hearing, believing. You see, you're going to come to Christ because you believe. You're going to repent because you believe. So now, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl must hear, believe, repent, confess Christ's name, and be baptized. There is no exception. Are we all there? What we were looking at, I'm coming back to this one. What we were looking at last week and going to pick up is that at this point, baptize, there are some 10 to 12 things that happen at baptism. Say that again, Brother Mitchell. Yeah, there are some 10 to 12 important things that happen at baptism. Things that happen at no other step of salvation. These 10 or 12 things we are looking at, they do not happen when you hear, they do not happen when you believe, they do not happen when you repent, they do not happen when you confess Christ. That's what we have been looking and we'll be picking up there this week. But notice this too. In all of the man God encounter, in all the situation where the prospective convert or the sinner encounter God, that is coming to God for salvation, for forgiveness, for fellowship with him, in all of what the New Testament revealed to us, where man's eternal peace, man's eternal salvation is under consideration, in all of these encounters, what we notice, it was always the prospective convert who was told or who is expected to do something. Watch me here now. We have just been told that all have to be taught are here. You'll notice that's not something God does. It's something that the sinner does. When you reach believe, that's not something God does. It's something the prospective convert does. When repentance is called upon to be done, it's not to be done by God. It is to be done by the prospective convert. When confession is to be done, it's not by God. Watch here. The one place you are going to have God comes in the picture. Does that mean Brother Mitchell, he was not in the picture before? Yes, he was in the picture. But in a sense, I said in a sense, inactive. You, the sinner, we, the sinner, are the active one. We are the one who need teaching. We are the one who need to believe. We are the one who need to repent. We are the one who need to be to confess. And we are the one who need to be baptized, not God. But watch here now. In all of these, the Almighty God, in a sense, do not get active until you reach yourself. That's right. It is at baptism the Almighty God going to become active, really active. Look here. You know, sometimes we just run on. Notice how the sinner is called upon to act. We're going to look on 1, 2, 3, or 4, or 5 passages just to get over the point. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Quick. 37 and 38. Then another brother turned to Acts chapter 8, verse 12 and 13. Then another brother turned to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8 and verse 36. Let us hear these passages just to drive home the point that in all the steps of salvation, hear, believe, repent, confess, baptize, it is the prospective convert, the sinner seeking forgiveness, that is called upon to do something, to act. Did I say Acts chapter 2, verse 37, 38?
When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart.
That is when they listened to God's message from God's messenger. They were cut to the heart.
They said to Peter. And the other apostles. Brothers. What shall we do?
What will God do now? You notice? They know it's up to them to act, not God. What shall we do? Of course, Peter is going to tell them to repent and get baptized. Well, let's move on to another case. Acts chapter 8, verse 12 through 13.
When they believe Philip preaching,
here's another audience. When they believe Philip preaching
the things concerning the kingdom of God.
Things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ.
They were baptized, both men and women.
You notice it is the prospective convert who acted, not God. Of course, when they get baptized, God going to come in the picture, as we're going to see. That was Acts chapter 8, verse 13 and 14.
Verse 13. Then
Simon himself believed.
And when he was baptized.
It is the prospective convert who acted. Turn to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8 also, verse 35 through 36.
Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture.
Then Philip began. Philip is the preacher. Began at that very passage of scripture.
and told him the good news about
and
Jesus.
And told the Ethiopian nobleman the good news about Jesus Christ. Read on.
As they traveled along the road.
As they traveled along the road.
They came to some water. And they...
What happened, brother?
They came to some water.
They came to some water.
And the eunuch said.
And the eunuch said.
Look.
Look.
Here is water.
Here is water. What will God do now?
What can stand in the way of me being baptized?
Y'all get it? It's not what will God do now. This man is a prospective convert, but he recognized that it is not God who is called upon to act. Now, mark you, God is ready to act. But the Almighty God had already told the prospective convert what he or she must do. The prospective convert in the person of the Ethiopian nobleman knew because he was taught. So he asked the preacher, here is water. You have told me about baptism in my salvation. What stopped me from being baptized? What is the point, Brother Mitchell, that in every situation where there is an encounter with men and women seeking God, it is not God who is called upon to act. Look at one more, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 9, verse 6. Let us hear it.
Now get
and
up.
And chapter 10, verse 33, let us hear it.
Now get up.
Now get up.
And go into the city.
And go into the city.
And you will be told what
you
must do.
You will be told
what you must do.
This is Saul, who became Paul, probably Jesus Christ's greatest witness. Get up, go in the city, and it will be told you what you must do. Look at Acts chapter 10, I think it is verse 33. Let us hear it.
So I sent for you immediately.
Yes, yes, yes. Cornelius reporting to Peter his experience. He said to Peter, it is for this reason I sent for you. Read on.
And it was good of you to come.
It was good of you to come preach, Peter.
Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything that the Lord has commanded you to tell us.
Here, you get the point? We sit here waiting on you, waiting for God's message for us. He wasn't there waiting that when Peter come, they will all talk to God. He acknowledged that God would have already spoken to Peter in respect to what he, Cornelius, as a sinner, must do. Ladies and gentlemen, the condition of salvation, hear, believe, repent, confess, and baptize, are all man's responsibility to be done by the prospective convert. Watch here. Every one of them, hear, believe, repent, confess, baptize, must be done by the sinner before God acts. It is after you or I hear the word, believe, repent, confess Christ's name, and get baptized, it is then that the Almighty God acts to bring us into fellowship with him, to get the forgiveness of our sin. You see, sin is our problem. Are we all there? Turn to the book of Isaiah 59, verse 1. Sin is our problem. And the Almighty God needs to get us at the place or at the point where he can act to deal with our sin. Isaiah 59, verse 1.
Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save.
Surely the arm of the Lord is not what?
Too short to save.
Too sharp. What is the problem? The Israelites were confused. Their enemy, the Gentile nation, were whooping them, beating them in battle. They were experiencing famine and other things. They were praying to God, and God was not responsive to their prayer. So from the leaders to the followers, they were all confused. What is happening? The Almighty God sent the message to Isaiah, to let them know that the problem was sin, their sin. God says his hands are not shortened, that it cannot be seen. God said to them, he has not gotten out of hearing or hear impairment, that he cannot hear. Read on, brother.
But your iniquities have separated you from your God.
Read.
For your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt.
So here the Almighty God was telling them that sin is their problem and sin is our problem. That's right. In fact, last week we stopped at the fourth point, and that is at baptism, you enter into Jesus Christ, or you put Jesus Christ on. Remember, that does not happen when you repent. That does not happen when you believe. It does not happen when you confess Christ. It is at baptism. You enter into Christ, or you put Christ on. I'll be saying a little more about that because it's important that we understand what is going on here. We looked last week at Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. Let us hear it again. And somebody hold the book of St. John chapter 15 and verse 7. We're on the point that it is at baptism. You enter Christ. Well, Brother Mitchell, why do we need to enter Christ? Forgiveness is in Christ. Salvation is in Christ. Righteousness is in Christ. Let me reverse that a little now. No man can be forgiven outside of Christ. No man can be cleansed outside of Christ. No man or woman can be made righteous outside of Christ. Because only in Jesus Christ we have righteousness. All the good, right, noble things that you and I or any man or woman can do, the Bible says it's a mound to filthy rats. You have never read that? That all our righteousness is like filthy rags? So that's why we need to be where righteousness is. Did I ask for that passage?
Galatians 3.
Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27.
For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus.
Brothers and sisters, you see, we cannot overemphasize to note this in this in Christ. You see, it's scattered all over the New Testament in Christ. But we'll talk a little more about it. You're all the children of God.
By faith in
that
Christ
is,
Jesus.
It is through your belief that push you to Christ. But then, it's not only by faith. It is where?
For as many of
you. Wait, it is where?
In Christ Jesus.
Same verse 26. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ. You cannot be a child of God outside of Christ. And let me drop that by since there is no other way to get in Christ except through baptism. And what we are saying, at baptism you get in Christ. Read on.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ.
As many of you as have been baptized into. Into Christ.
Have put on Christ.
You see, this business of into Christ, putting on Christ, is absolutely necessary. Are we all there? Notice John 15 and verse 7, St. John.
If ye abide in me.
No. Your father again? Jesus Christ speaking to his disciple. He said, if you
abide in me.
As all of us know, the word abide means to stay. Watch here. If you abide
in me,
if you stay in Jesus Christ, wait, what Jesus Christ is dealing with here is effective prayer. That even effective prayer is dependent on you being in Christ. Wait, you will swear. How many times you pray and God answer you? It's somebody else. Because here Jesus Christ is telling us that effective prayer is dependent on we being in him. Listening.
If ye abide in me.
If you stay in me.
And my words abide.
And my words stay in you.
He shall ask what he will.
And it will be granted.
And that it shall be done.
Everybody here? This is Jesus. That's not Carl Mitchell. It's Jesus Christ telling us that effective prayer is dependent on this being in Christ. And we have been told how you get in Christ. Remember what we are dealing with here, the 10 to 12 things which happen at baptism. One of them, it is at baptism, not at faith, not at repentance, not at confession, that one gets in Christ. Turn that around. You are not in Christ until after you have been baptized the right way. Here the Bible tells us that effective prayer is conditional on this obedient relationship referred to by the Bible as in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. Wait. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Verse 3, let us hear it.
In whom he also trusted after that he heard the word of truth.
Ephesians 1:3.
1:3.
Yes, I'd said 13 before, but it's really 3 I want.
Blessed be the God and
Father of our Lord
Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings.
Take time with me, dear brothers and sisters. Look here now. He's going to tell us where Notice, who has blessed us, how?
With all spiritual blessings.
Wait, listen for where those spiritual blessings are. Give it.
Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
Christ Jesus. That's where spiritual, all, not some, all spiritual blessings are in Christ. As I've always illustrated, No, I haven't forgotten what I'm about to say. My car might be a blessing from God, but that's not spiritual blessing. My wife might be a blessing from God, but that's not spiritual blessing. My house might be a blessing from God, but that's not spiritual blessing. My children might be blessing from God, but they are not spiritual blessing. They are all physical, material blessing. Spiritual blessing include forgiveness of sin. Spiritual blessing include fellowship with God. Spiritual blessing include the privilege that I can go to God in prayer at any time, anywhere, and He answer. That's spiritual blessing. Spiritual blessing include forgiveness of sin. That takes place only in Christ. Spiritual blessing include fellowshipping with God as I go through this life. That spiritual blessing, having God to be with me, guiding me, looking out for my physical and other welfare as I go through life, being a child of God, that spiritual blessing. When the Bible says that God had sent the rain on whom? The just and the unjust. That is physical blessings. You don't have to be a child of God or even to believe in Him for God to provide the necessities of life for you. Because He loves you. You mean Brother Mitchell didn't love me even though me not like him? Yes, that's the great God that we are. You may not like Him, but He still provides the physical things of life for you. That's right. You don't like Him, but God may save you from the bullet of the gunman. Those are physical blessings. But God's special guidance, protection over His children, it's a different kettle of fish. Passage of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3, where the Apostle Paul giving the Almighty God thanks for blessing them with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings are available nowhere else except in Christ Jesus. Forgiveness of sin. It's available only in Christ Jesus. Fellowshipping with God is available only in Christ Jesus. Wait. That term, in Christ Jesus, as I've often said, it refers to an obedient relationship with God. But it includes something else that is of vital importance. It includes sharing in the nature of Christ. In Christ, that's why it is in Christ. It is sharing in Christ's nature, His righteous nature. That's the only way we could be righteous, you know. Nothing you and I do could we Get righteousness. I mean nothing. Is it Titus Philemon Hebrew? Is it Titus? Chapter 1 or verse 12.
One of Crete's own prophets has said it.
No, not 1:12. Titus chapter 2 verse 11 or 12. If you don't find it, let's not.
Verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in this present age.
Is that Titus chapter 1?
11 through 12. Chapter 2.
It's a part which talk about. Let's move on. As I've said, brothers and sisters, that God makes. Remember, we have just come from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. In Christ. Don't take that term slightly. God made it that the sinner's righteousness will come only when the sinner repent, baptize, and is united with Jesus Christ. That's the only way we are going to be righteous. Look at John 14:20. John 14:20.
On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father.
Notice the passage. And that day, Jesus Christ speaking said, you will understand
that I am in my Father.
I am in my Father.
And you are in me.
And you are in me.
And I am in you.
And I in you. You get the, you see these in. Let me hear it from the King James. Quick.
Ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me.
Wait. I am in my Father. That is Jesus Christ and the Almighty God. Share identity, holiness. Don't move from the passage. The Almighty God knows that the only way that we can become righteous is to share identity with Christ. And that is why baptism, we're going to go to a passage that most of us know. And that's the whole point. But as one theologian rightly said, that the passage the brother is reading here, found in John 14 and verse 20, he said, this is the old prospectus of God's complete plan of salvation. All that the New Testament teaches, all that God is doing, is to get the sinner to unite with Christ.
Yes.
Where righteousness is.
Yeah.
We can never be righteous
outside
if we do not get into Christ.
Amen.
Read.
And that day ye shall know that I am in my Father.
I am in the Father.
And ye in me.
The Father is in me.
And I in you.
And I in you. That's when the Almighty God make it that at baptism we get in Christ, it's because that's where righteousness is. That's the only way we are going to get righteous. It's not our righteousness. Nothing we do. Nothing we do That's the passage. Let us have it.
Not by works of righteousness.
Even though that passage was not a part of my lesson, but it plays such an important part in this truth I'm trying to get over to you, that we must never mistake all the decent, nice, good, kind things we do for righteousness. Yeah. Notice what the Bible calls them. Let us hear it.
Not by works of righteousness.
Not by works of righteousness.
Which we have done.
Everybody hear that? The right and proper thing we do does not make us righteous. You see, we need to get that. Because we can walk away patting ourselves how righteous we are. And there are passages in the Bible which is so worded that if you do not read it carefully, it may make you think that you do some things and you personify righteousness. Read it again, brother. Thank you, brother.
Not by works of righteousness.
It is important that the Holy Spirit reveal this to Paul. Not
by works
of righteousness which we have done,
but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration.
Brother, you know what that washing of regeneration is? Baptism.
Amen.
Baptism. That's how God going to make us share in the righteousness of Christ, because baptism put us in Christ.
Amen.
Are we all there? As I've said, it is this passage about I am in the Father in me, and I in you. As I quote this theologian say, this is the whole prospectus of the whole plan of salvation, providing for the sinner to be identified with Christ. Identified with Christ, yes. You have read it dozens of times. Where, Brother Mitchell? Me can't remember reading that. Well, let me jog your memory by Romans chapter 6, verse 3, through verse 5 or 6. And this passage is dealing with the identity with Christ. Let us hear it.
Know ye not?
Don't you know
that so many of us?
You know, Paul had to remind the Christian in respect to the road that they have traveled, the condition of salvation that they had to go through. And that condition, or those conditions, mean identifying with Jesus Christ, to become one with him. Don't you know? Or don't you remember
that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ,
were baptized where?
Into Jesus Christ.
Into Jesus Christ.
Were baptized into his death.
You see, that's identity with him in his death. Read on.
Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism.
That's identity with him in his burial. Read that now.
Into death.
Uh-huh.
That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk.
All of what the brother is reading here, the Bible is showing that there must be identity with Christ in Jesus' death, in Jesus' burial, and in Jesus' resurrection. Mass. That happens at baptism. There is no other way for forgiveness. Because forgiveness and righteousness is to be found only in Jesus Christ. And you have to get in Christ to be identified with him. Wait. Did you know we are not going to be saved? As Carl Mitchell? As Blossom White? As Cherry Garden? As John Brown? Neither are we going to be saved as St. Paul or St. Apollos. Read it, no brother, run to it quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, 12, somewhere there.
I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but that that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Cleo, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say.
Wait. I've just told you, we are not going to be saved. My salvation not going to be dependent on my going to God on the day of judgment, as Carl Mitchell. Or as belonging to Joseph Smith Church or Carl Mitchell Church. I cannot go to God for salvation in any of those names. And that's exactly what Paul is dealing with here. We are going to be saved as Christ. Yes, you heard me right. Or in Christ. No other way. You were reading in the book of 1 Corinthians, you wrote about verse 12.
Now this I say.
This I say, or this I mean.
That every one of you said, I am of Paul.
I am of Paul.
And I of Apollos.
Yes, we are about St. Peter's church.
And I of Cephas.
St. Apollos.
And I of Christ. Is Christ divided?
Is Jesus Christ divided?
Was Paul...
Wait. I wonder if everybody getting the drift here. But the other question. Was Paul
crucified for you?
You get that. You must get that. Because what that is implying, that our salvation is dependent on and is in the one who was crucified for us. When you and I wear any other name other than the one who was crucified for us, we are encroaching on God's plan of salvation.
Amen.
Well, Mr. Mitchell, I was grew up as a Baptist. Well, you better become a Christian. And there is no such thing as a Baptist Christian. We cannot be saved.
Listen.
Was Paul crucified for you? Meaning, you must never religiously give glory to or identify yourself spiritually, religiously, other than by the name of the one who was crucified for you. That's what that means. You don't believe me? Run to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4 and verse 12.
Neither is there salvation in any other.
I like how you read that, brother. Neither is there salvation in any other. Read that.
For there is none
there
other.
There is none other.
Name under
heaven. Wait. there is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
You cannot be saved. I cannot be saved in the name of Carl Mitchell. I have to be saved in Christ. I cannot be saved in the name of Roman Catholic, Anglican, Jehovah Witness, and all of this. No other name.
Amen.
Only in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Because salvation and righteousness is to be found only in Christ.
Amen.
Are we all there? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ.
Brother, you notice how it uses the word if. That means conditional. If you are in Christ, but suppose you are not in Christ, dog, eat your supper. If anyone be in Christ,
the new creation
is a new creation. All things are
gone. The new is here.
The new is here. And that newness takes place in Christ. Yeah. That was verse 17, brother.
Yes.
Look at verse 21.
God made him who had no sin.
Wait. Start again. God made Christ.
Who had no sin. To be sin for us. So that in him we might become.
Take time with me, brother. I was distracted. My quote button fell off, so I had to pick it up. You are at the book of 2 Corinthians,
chapter 5,
verse 17. You have read that, and then now verse 21, where you were when I was distracted.
God made him.
God made Jesus Christ.
Who had no sin.
You see, that is important, because the passage the brother is reading is dealing with how God is going to fix it, that our sins be dealt with in Christ. God made it.
Who had no sin.
That Christ who had no sin.
To be sin for us.
To be sin. It's always important that we understand. The passage is not teaching that Christ commits sin. What the passage is teaching. When Jesus Christ died at Calvary. It is sin that brought death. For any man. Had there been no sin, there would be no death. When Jesus Christ stretched out at Calvary's cross, it was sin. He represents sin in dying. But it was not his sin. It was your sin and my sin. So when it says God made him to be sin for us, is that Jesus Christ take our sin. Wasn't it some 2 weeks ago, Brother Gilbert was teaching, and the point that came out, and I refer to it as holy swap. Holy swap. But Brother Mitchell, you disturb the reader. Read the brother. Let me finish the sermon.
So that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
You all get it? Read it from the King James, let me hear.
For he hath made him to be sin for us.
Remember, it doesn't mean that Christ sinned, but death that he experienced at Calvary represents sin. But it was our sin. So Jesus Christ took our sin. Read.
Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
You see how it goes? Christ took our sin at Calvary and at the same time give us his
righteousness.
That's how comes we can be righteous.
Amen.
But only in Jesus Christ. For there is salvation in none other. There is no forgiveness anywhere outside of Christ.
Amen.
There is no salvation anywhere outside of Christ. And the one and only way you get in Christ is through baptism.
Amen.
No other way. Mr. Mitchell, when I believe I don't get in Christ, I explained last week that belief is unto. Here is unto. Believe is unto. Confession is unto. They are all unto, which means you are going in the right direction. You are going in the right direction. But you don't reach where God wants you to reach until you are baptized in Christ. Faith does not put us in Christ. Repentance does not put us in Christ. As I wrap up, not only you enter Jesus Christ at baptism, you become a Christian at baptism. That's when your name changed. Remember, we are told that God is going to give us a new name. That took place at baptism. I wish I have time to deal with them, but I'm not coming back to this lesson next week. You become a member of the body of Christ at baptism. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. You become a child of God at baptism. Galatians 3:26. You become a recipient of the Holy Spirit at baptism, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 38. Ninth, you become a new creature at baptism, 2 Corinthians 5, 17. At baptism, you are sanctified. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. At baptism, you are justified. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9 through 11. At baptism, you come into high-class relationship. I wish I have time to spend a little more time. In fact, each of these points could be a sermon because even though I stopped at entering and putting on Christ last week, literally the entire lesson this week was taken up with that one point. So I wish we have time. You know, I've just pointed out that at baptism, we come to high class company and the true general assembly. At baptism, we beg Christian to be mindful of these things. And when you are teaching, because we are to become teachers, that's what God, share God's truth, to enlighten men and women, putting them in the position to make right and proper religious and spiritual decision. But they need teaching. And God is depending on you and me. And I say to the man or woman in the audience today who is not a child of God, you can become a Christian the Bible's way this morning. Wait, I didn't say you wait until next week. Because, you know, day by day we are bombarded with the vicious killing that is taking place. And so many times I'm tempted to say more from the pulpit, but forgo it. Like the child, that how can you so viciously, what a little 8-year-old pickin' can do you? But it shows the sickness that is in mind of men and women. That's why people need teaching. God is depending on you and me, that when you hear God's truth, you retain as much of it as you can and try to reach men and women for Christ, inviting them to come and hear God's word. That Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, has a remedy to change and transform the heart of man by getting them in Christ. If you are here this morning, you can leave this place a child of God. Yes, you can leave here today not only a believing person, but a repentant person, a person who confess faith in Christ, a person who get baptized for the removal of your sin and to get in Christ. We are here to help you, and Jesus Christ right now is ready to forgive you. You need Jesus Christ, and you need him right now as we stand and sing.